Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to PGN. This is Tuesday evening, and it is April 6th, 2021. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to be here with you. And I'm glad that you are here and you have joined us this evening. Thank you for those that have dialed in, and we will do ministry shortly. And for those of you, those of our listeners who are listening online, we welcome you as well, and you're free to dial in at any time for ministry at 319-527-6027. Thank you. Okay, well, I have a handful of different things on my notes. Today, kind of like a little, I felt like a little scrimmage with the Lord today, starting this morning and then ending to this evening. So, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful to the Lord for how he directs, and to the Lord when I hear his breath and him speaking, that I will follow him. So today I was, I think it's allergies. There's so much pollen. I don't know if there's a ton of pollen where you guys are living, but I feel a little bit sluggish, and I think that's what it is. But I'm going to say to the listeners, if you are listening, if you're catching this at a later time, or you're just a little bit new to PGN maybe and didn't listen last week, is maybe, or maybe you know you are faithful, but you missed a lot last week. I just want to say there is, last week was really great teaching and anointing that Randy did that is downloadable, and you can re-listen to it. Thursday night, I felt, was an accumulation when he does communion. So last Thursday night communion was a kind of like an accumulation of all the teaching and then the Lord's anointing on it with prayer. And just a release of that was a release of the word of the Lord was very powerful and effective. I believe it was an effective prayer. In Jesus' name. So I would encourage you to go back and listen to that. And one thing I was thinking, I'm not sure if he was speaking. It might have been last night he was sharing something, or maybe it was a caller. One of the callers was sharing. But I don't know if it was something about creation, but I was thinking back to, in Genesis 1, because I had just re-listened to that too on a podcast, was when God created, you know, his passion for creation and restoring creation and redemption, you know, and reconciliation, everything back to him. That's his passion. But so in Genesis 1, when we're learning about creation and the heart of God and how he does that and speaks into it, even in darkness when it was null and void, and he spoke into that and he created the land, the sea and the sky, and then day and night. And those are the first like 3 days, I think days 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. 1, 2, 3. And then days 4, 5, 6, what he did was he filled those things. He filled the land, he filled the sea, and he filled the air. So first he created, and then he filled them with his creation. So what's interesting is that we can even get a lot of our identity right there from Genesis. I mean, because again, then it certainly goes on to talk about Adam and Eve and how he breathed his breath into them, right? And I don't know if our breath, actually I didn't know if our breath carries DNA. It may or may not. I'm not sure. I know a lot of things do, like about skin or tissue or organs or muscles, you know, our bones, our teeth, our hair, our saliva, things like that, a lot of things. But So he created them, right, to be in his image. But this interesting thing is just like he created the earth, he created it and shaped it and formed it, and then he filled it. And he did the same with Adam and Eve, right? He created it, shaped it, and formed it, and then he filled it. And he still wants to do that in the New Testament, but the whole process is overturned because it's Jesus now and Jesus alone. And so Jesus creates salvation for us and new life while he was our creator from the beginning. He created us, shaped us, and formed us in the natural. Now he has done it in the supernatural. And then he also wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. So I just thought that was such a cool revelation that he not only does he create, shape, and form, but he wants to fill, and he does. That's his desire. He wants to fill us. So anyways, I thought that was really cool. And let's see here. So as I was reading something today, yeah, let me share this, and then I'll go back to what I was praying before I started. The Lord spoke something to me, and I'll share that. But I was reading today about Peter. Okay, speaking of the transfiguration, which I just was, and, okay, Peter, James, and John were there, as you know that. Let me see what version. I want to go ahead and read this, and I want to read it in the NIV just to keep it simple. So here's first, okay, hold on 1 second. So in John 16, let's back up one chapter. This is still Peter, though, 16 verses, excuse me. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" So he's speaking to his disciples. "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah." And still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" This is a great question, especially if you're a witness to people and you're talking about Jesus. You can ask somebody, "Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is," right? And that'll tell you everything. That'll boil it down, and you'll know where your starting point is or your ending point, depending if there's an Antichrist spirit, you know. But you'll know right what to say and what seeds to plant and prayers to plow for their hearts, okay? So Simon Peter, excuse me, Peter answered. Now catch this. This is Peter. As you know, you're very familiar with this. Because you're God's people and you're filled with faith, hope, love in the Word of God. And Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." Okay, and I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he orders disciples not to tell anyone he was the Messiah. Okay, so Peter gave that revelation, and Jesus even declared and confirmed that it was a revelation that Peter had. And it was a revelation given from the Father directly, and nobody else would have revealed that. Okay, nobody else would have revealed that, but it came from Peter, and he spoke those words. So he spoke it. I don't know how. We don't know how he received this. We just know he spoke the words, and Jesus confirmed this. You know, Jesus confirmed this. Then we go to the next chapter in John 17, and the transfiguration actually is more so in verses 1 through 8, but I don't want to read all of those. But see, they're still confusing him, if you will, with Elijah and Moses. Okay, so after 6 days, okay, let me just start at the beginning. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And there was a transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, Jesus. Okay, so Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Wow, that's cool. So Peter, same Peter who just said, Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and the voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Okay, so listen, this is what I want to say. When I read it, I realized that Peter was misinterpreting what was happening here. Well, he just had this very profound, and nobody else did, or nobody else even came close to the revelation that he had in speaking forth that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of Man, Son of the Living God, right? He spoke that forth. Now he's saying to Jesus, Peter's saying to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. So it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up a shelter. So he's saying a shelter, what he's literally saying is, I will build an altar. I'll build an altar. Shall I do this? Shall I build an altar for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you? And no, that is not, and I just want to say too, I'm not even sure that I totally get this transfiguration thing. It took me a long time, and I'm not even sure that I entirely grasp this either. But what I've seen today was that Peter did not either. Even in the midst of Jesus being there, and in the midst of him being invited by Jesus himself, and he's almost putting Jesus on the same level as Moses and Elijah. So did he have the understanding of what the Messiah was to come to do? Or did he just speak those words because that's what he heard his father say, and he brought forth a revelation, but yet he didn't have or hold the, know the weight of it, of what he was saying. She following me, and I'm saying this like prophetically. Did he speak this forth, but did not have an idea, the gravity or the weight of what he was saying and what he was being revealed through those words? And so in this incident, which is written really just a chapter later, I do not know the specific time frame, but it must have been a short time after he says, he's saying this about Moses and Elijah and the three shelters and not understanding in this altar, but certainly a heart of sincerity and genuine, he's being very genuine, and he's wanting to be honorable, and he's wanting to serve, right, with his faith and put his faith in action and serve, and he's asking in a very honorable way. That still stands. He's not just being flippant or weird or anything, but my point is that sometimes, and even Peter shows us here, that we can misinterpret revelations that we're getting. This is a great revelation that was being revealed, and he missed part of it. He did not understand it, and he missed part of it. So while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and the voice of the cloud said, this is my son, which is interesting, the father goes back over him, something that was just revealed in the previous chapter, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased, listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, so that would be all of them, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said, do not be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. So check this out. So Jesus and Jesus alone, that's what I'm going to go back to. Jesus and Jesus alone, because really what he was saying was Moses being there and Elijah. It was the Old Testament, and that Moses was representation of the law, And Elijah was a representation of the prophet. And Jesus fulfilled both. In the Old Testament, he fulfilled the role of the law, and he fulfilled the role of the prophet. And he was going to be stepping into the New Testament. So do you see how Peter, I mean, I don't even know that I even get it, even knowing that part of it, all of the transfiguration is, what a wild revelation to walk into and to see the three of them talking and want to do something, you know, like, oh, okay, it's good for me to be here because you invited me. You know, is that the assumption? I mean, it's good for me to be here. I should be doing something to serve you. Just, you know, if you invited these others, I should be serving them. You know, I could certainly understand a sincere heart in that. But on the prophetic side of it, again, just going back to receiving the revelation of who Jesus was and then misinterpreting this revelation that he was walking in and stepped into. It's just interesting, and I think it just shows us that unless we have the Holy Spirit, it's good to ask questions. And unless we have the Holy Spirit with us to guide us, we certainly can miss it, right? And we can misunderstand the weight of it and the gravity of what we're carrying and the revelation of what we're seeing. And sometimes the Lord allows us and puts upon us sometimes an urgency or the weight of it or the burden of certain things because there's a time factor in it on earth that needs to, you know, be addressed. And so he might give that to his intercessors, to his prophet, carry that and to, you know, allow him to mentor you through that. So, okay, so there's that. I thought it was interesting when I read that. Here's what the Lord spoke to me, and I was going to read this verse last week. I'm having a good week. There's nothing, because sometimes this verse is misunderstood. This is 2 Corinthians 1, and where does this start? It's 5 through 11, so it's just 5 verses. It says, so here's what I hear the Lord say when I was praying before it started. I heard him say, just tell somebody to hold on. They need to hold on. He was kind of singing. Like I was hearing this song, and I was almost like, I felt like I was almost starting to drift off a little bit. And then I was hearing the song. I said, oh, wait, this is like something he was singing, you know, hold on. So sometimes when I hear him singing a word, it does have a little bit of deliverance to it, that you'll be delivered from it. But hearing him say, hold on, hold on. And I said, Lord, what do you want them to hold on to? Even though I kind of know, but I wanted to ask him. And he said, hold on to the unshaken. So whatever has not been shaken that's before you, hold on to that. Whatever truth you know, whatever promise you know, hold on to that. And I will say, you know, in December, it was very difficult for me with losing my mom. There was another family member that we lost that I didn't even mention here. And then we moved. So it was a lot that was being uprooted. And I did need to hold on. And everything looked different. And everything, I mean, it was, I know what it feels like to have to, this is what I'm trying to say, to identify with this word, is that looking for the thing that is not shaken, when it looks like all has been shaken, and to really look for it and to find it and to hold on to it. And any piece of Christ that you know to be true and noble and right, then you need to stay there, that has not been shaken, you know, and to hold on to the unshakable, which is basically him. He is unshakable, and his kingdom certainly is unshaken. But in your surroundings and circumstance, to hold on to whatever is unshaken. And sometimes when he does that, and I know for me, when he did that at in December, it was to refocus. It was to get my perspective. I had to take my natural focus and shift it to a supernatural focus so I could take his perspective, and then he could begin speaking to me and ministering to me in very profound ways, and that I could see that in my world, both spiritually and in the natural. I could see that and recognize what he was doing, and it was on a daily basis, and, you know, speaking to him and just him revealing himself to me in very sweet and very kind, compassionate ways. Sorry, let me go back to the scripture, which is this. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience, endurance of the same suffering we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uniformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the providence of Asia. We are under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so we despaired in life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received a sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but rely on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. So on him we have set our hope, and he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for your gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. So we just pray. Let me just pray for those right now that word spoke to, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, that you would open the heart to receive your comfort, God, to receive your word, Lord, to receive and to find what is unshaken, God, in their circumstances and their surroundings, God, to hold on to, God, and that their focus would be that, Lord, and that you are the unshakable, God. You are the unshakable, God, but they would look for the unshaken, Lord, and that they would find you there in that place, Lord, just like Peter, James, and John went up to the mountain. They found a place to meet with you, God. I pray that those that need comfort from God, they would find their place to meet with you, God. And I thank you, Lord, that it would be sound and secure, Lord, just like a rock, Father, in Jesus' name, that they would find you there, Lord, that you would speak to them, that you would deliver them, Father, from their circumstances, from their despair, Lord, and that you just would be with them in miraculous and mighty ways, Father, and that they would know that you are God and God alone, and how this is worded here, that they would rely on you, Lord. Rely on themselves, but rely on God. Yes, and that is something that I even had to go through, was the things like my fallbacks or whatever, you know, those things, or defaults a little bit. If I just do this, then I know this will happen, kind of even for yourself, like you get to know yourself maybe a little bit, and then you end up relying on that. And so there was a fabric there. He was reweaving the fabric, you know, in the tapestry in my life, that it would be stronger, a stronger fabric of him, really, and not relying on myself, but relying on God. So I didn't plan to say any of that part of it before I came, but I did. So praise the Lord, because he's good and he is faithful. And we do need to know that he is a God of comfort, and it's not just in sufferings, but if he is a God of all comfort, then he is available to us, right? When we need to get outside of our comfort zone, that's not necessarily, our obedience or our sacrifices and suffering always. It's just getting out of our comfort zone, and God is big enough to comfort us and to supply any that we need, right? Any comfort that we need. So if we need to start a new job, we need to start a new regime, even eating or exercising, again, whatever it is, you know, a new I don't know, like a social gathering type of thing or whatever that thing is, you know, maybe you feel weakened. I don't know. But God, outside of your box, right? We all have our own box outside of our comfort zone. Well, God is outside of our comfort zone, and he will meet us there, and he will provide, and we will not rely on ourselves, right? Because I know how to rely on myself within my own comfort zone, but I have to rely on Christ. I have to rely on Christ to do that. And, you know, I will say sometimes large gatherings that used to be my husband's work, like at Christmas, they would have a party. He switched jobs 3 years ago, I think almost. Yeah, 3 years ago. So way even before COVID. And so at Christmas, but it would be a big gathering, and it would be several different offices. There would be like a dozen different offices from around the metropolitan area that would come in gathering. And it was very formal, and it was very uncomfortable for me, definitely outside of my comfort zone. And I mean, I'm glad that we had each other, and we would always pray before we would go in. And I would pray to the Lord. I would just have to pray, you know, that he would have me talk to the people he wanted me to talk to, yada, 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 and all of that, even the social, you know, all of that. So, you know, just learning not to rely on myself in my own comfort zone, right? But getting out of that box. Okay. So praise the Lord. Let's just do, this is just a 2-minute song. And then we're going to open up, you know, it's my Julie True, Light of Heaven. And then we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Let's just pray before we start. Father, we just thank you for this evening and dedicate it to you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that that we just come to serve you, Lord, in faith, Lord, gather in your name and in your word, Lord, and by your spirit, Father. We thank you, Lord, just as we dedicate this unto you and commit it unto you, God. I commit myself unto you, Lord, that your revelation of light would come forth, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you would keep our hearts in faith, God, and that they would be to receive and to receive from you and you alone, God. And I pray, Lord, that I would do in such a fashion and such a way, Lord, that would be pleasing to you. God, I ask for your wisdom and for your to reign and rule in this house and in this place, God, and in their houses as well, God, and where they're calling from and where they're listening from, God. We ask for your presence, for you to send your presence, God, that they could experience you. God, experience your presence, experience the Holy Spirit, and walk with you and learn from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Our first caller here is 920-279. I think this is Anne from Wisconsin.
Hi. Yes, it is Anne.
Hi, Anne. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. That's good to know. Okay. So, Father, we just pray right now, Lord, we pray for and lift up Anne to you, God, and even her state, Wisconsin, Lord. We just pray, Lord, for a second. I pray that doors would remain open, Lord, that you would put a wedge there, God, that doors cannot be closed that you intended. You know, where the word says that man may not close any door that God has opened. And so I pray for the doors that you have intended to be open, God, within this state, Lord, for leaders, Lord, and jurisdictions and justice departments and justice ministries, God, that you would leave that wedge there, God. And as frustrating as it might be for someone to try and close it, that they don't even see, God, what's keeping it open. They can't even see it. It's just frustrating that they keep trying to slam it shut, but it will not. So we thank you, Lord, we come into agreement for the favor and the grace and the oil of heaven to keep that door, just that wedge in place in the name of Jesus. And those that you've purposed to come and to take the kingdom by force, if you will, God, that they would cause those doors to open, God, and to swing in their direction, God, that is favorable for the kingdom of God. We thank you for that. We thank you for just your anointing and your seal on that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for Anne. And well, I'm going to go back to your state again. So even places of like, I don't know if it's like land preserved or nature preserved and parks. I'm not sure what the preservation on land. Even that, Lord, and its purpose, I don't know, it could be family-oriented or family, you know, or even ministry, or, you know, to preserve that type of thing as well. We pray for the favor of God on that as well, in Jesus' name. And I pray for Anne, Lord. We thank you for her, God, that she is your She represents you, Father, within her city, within her state, within her county, in Jesus' name, God. And I pray, Lord, that you, Lord, just like your word says, that you call us to the four corners of the earth, right? That you've called her to that north, south, east, and west, Lord. And so, Lord, that she can, Lord, pick up on the barometer and the atmosphere, when that barometer is changing and it's going east or south or you know, it's spinning, that a storm's coming, whatever, God, that she could pray into that, God, and use her authority, God, and proximity to where she is, Lord. And we thank you, God, for gifting her with that, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that she wouldn't, that she would learn, God, as we all are, Lord, to ask you, Lord, like, this is your gift, you know, like, the Lord, that it's not you, because I think the enemy tries to trick us sometimes, because it leaves us really ineffective when we think it's ourselves, and that we're just having a hard day, or that we are just muddling through, or, you know, or even if we think it's something physical, because we do have a physical thing. Do you know what I mean? And we just assume that it is, but we never really ask the Lord. Yeah. Like, is it something in the atmosphere? Am I supposed to be praying something right now? Lord, what is this? Can you reveal? Lord, shed your light and speak to me and reveal what I need to know so that I can walk obedient with you, that I can walk serving you. Lord, I need more information. You know, if you've gifted me and I need to use my gift, Lord, I need to know. I need to know the direction of this. And I'm coming to you and asking whatever those questions are. Lord, and we thank you, Father, for just shedding your light on that. And light does dispel darkness. So our light does dispel darkness. And we thank you, Lord, even if there's places that she needs to put up a firewall, God, and even if it's, you know, in the workplace or whatever it might be, you know, not that this is necessarily evil, but just a place that, like, that you don't have to you know, it doesn't have to necessarily wear you down. Put up a firewall so that, and pray, you know, that your prayers are effective. So if you not have to be concerned with this person in this cubicle or whatever, I'm just giving an example. It could be a neighbor, you know, is actually dealing with this one thing, and you actually know what they're dealing with, and they're not your whole assignment, but sometimes you can feel that in the atmosphere and you take authority. But I also, you could put it, just put up a firewall that you, you know, it's not, you know, you just, the anointing. You want to pray under the anointing to break the yokes. The anointing breaks the yokes. So then if you know you need to pray about that, then you go into that in prayer because the anointing has fallen on you. And then, okay, so here's my example is. No, I don't know if I can. Okay, so this, anyways, this does have to do with a neighbor. I'm not going to say if it's here or earlier or whatever. But the, I mean, and are there other house? I did pray for a neighbor and just, you know, to put, you know, just a wall of protection, a firewall, whatever you want to call it, you know. And so, because they could be praying about this circumstance a lot or all day long. Do you know what I mean? And so I didn't want to do it in and of myself, but I do want to know that we're covered and that we're protected. And then when I do have that unction or I feel that urgency from the Lord or the weight of it, the burden, then I press into it in prayer because I know the anointing's there and it's going to break something that's going to be effective. And, you know, whether I see it or not, but until it's lifted, So it's not in and of ourselves, but, you know, because the vine supports, you know, he supports us, you know.
Right.
And,
I understand.
So, Father, we just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. And so I also see, like, your ambers. You know, you have ambers on it. I think they're called ambers, or I think they're – sometimes I get – so I don't know why. Sometimes when I prophesy, I feel like I am – I lose – words for some reason. I'm not sure why, but I think they're called ambers when you have a fire, like the coal, like when you get those. Okay, the ambers, but the actual coal itself is red. So your fire is ready. You know what I mean? Like you're, it's burning, and it's ready.
Oh.
You know. So and the things that you put on the altar, you know. So. But the amber thing is ready. It's red, like, you know, like it's ready.
Yeah.
It's been prepped.
I understand.
And it's
like
ready.
Yeah. Like, you know, when you're going to put some food on the grill and it's got to be really, really hot. And otherwise it won't cook, you know. It will go out. So it has to be real hot.
Yeah. So whatever it is, you know, I don't know if that's on the altar, if there's something to put on the altar. And it could be prayer. It just could be, you know, it could be yourself as a living sacrifice, which could be an interpretation of you as an intercessor, putting yourself on the altar, you know.
Yeah.
So, but that amber is red and it's burning and it's ready. So, yeah, that's good.
Oh, thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Thank you so much, Deborah.
You're welcome. Do you want to share anything with our listeners? Or prayer? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I do need prayer. I'm really under attack. I mean, really bad in my physical body. I have a sty in my eye in the upper and the lower lid. And in both eyes, so the one is not, the right one's not so bad, but the left one has it upper and lower. And they just keep draining, but they keep also filling back up. So I don't understand. I mean, you know, I put the compresses on them and stuff, and I was going to go over here to the Walmart and see if they have, like, some drops or something, because they're draining. And I also have edema really super bad, and I don't get that. So I don't know. I literally think it's an attack. And
is that a skin thing?
It's where you you have a like my ankles are super swollen, and I mean to the point like they look like, you know, tree stumps. I'm sorry, I don't get that. So
oh,
I mean
goodness.
I don't have I do have a skin problem though across my nose. So, like, I just,
okay.
I mean, physically, I'm just really being super beat up.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, let's pray. Let's pray, saints, all of our listeners. Let's just pray for Anne right now and just stretch forth your faith towards her in Jesus' name. And, Father, we just take authority, Father, over these styes in her eyes, Father God, on the upper and the lower lid, God, and her left eye and both her right eye, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name that they would dry up, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We pray, Father, for any discomfort and pain in the name of Jesus. We just rebuke that in Jesus' name, God. And we pray, Father God, that health, Lord, and smoothness and correctiveness would come to her, both her bottom lid and her upper lid, Father God, and in her right eye, Father. We just thank you, Lord, and lift them up to you, Father God, and we ask that you touch them, God, that you would touch them from heaven, Lord, and send forth your healing virtue unto her, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, from the top of her head to her ankles, God, that you would send forth your healing, God, and bring forth a balance within her body, Lord, in her cells, and her counts, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we pray for this swelling or this edema, God, that she called. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray healing to come in Jesus' name. Healing, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you, God, for just solutions, Lord. We pray for, again, Lord, just rebuking any pain and discomfort in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for your word says that healing is for the bread of life, God. Healing is for the bread of life, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that she's a partaker, God, and when she partakes, Lord, she partakes of your healing, Lord. When she partakes, Lord, she partakes of your victory, Lord. I thank you, Lord, when she partakes, Lord, she partakes of her inheritance, God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for the bread of life, Lord, and that she is a partaker, God, of her inheritance, Lord. And we thank you, God, for releasing the promise to the problem, God, in Jesus' name. And we just pray, problems, you listen to the promise and you be partakers of the promise in Jesus' name. Yeah. And we thank you, God, that we just rebuke this thing and this attack in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Thank
you, Lord.
Amen.
Jesus. Amen. I was with my sister, my little sister, and we were talking about the Lord, and we went really, I don't know, 2.5 hours away from, I went to her house, which was an hour, drive, and then we went 2.5 hours, like, southeast, and we were talking, and she goes, hey, I got something on the roof of my mouth, and we were stopped, and I said, well, let me see, and I looked in there, and she was really frantic about the whole thing. I'm like, just calm down, it'll be fine, you're okay, and so then I just looked at it, and I didn't say anything, and then we were driving, and she goes, oh, my legs hurt real bad, and I go, like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, I got, I don't know, I think it's called restless legs or something, and and we were talking, and I go, oh, can I pray for your legs right now? And she goes, yeah, and so I did, and I waited, like, I don't know, an hour, and I asked her how her legs were, because she was talking about that thing on the roof of her mouth again, and I said, oh, how's your legs? She goes, oh, much better, thank you. And I said, oh, well, that's the Lord Jesus. He touched you. And I said, let's pray for that thing on the roof of your mouth. And she goes, okay. And so we prayed for that too. And I go, and then, I don't know, it was, you know, like 15 minutes ago, how is it? And she goes, oh, it don't hurt anymore. And it was real hard. It was like a hard little type of thing. And I said, how, and she said, oh, it's not even hard anymore. It's like not, I can feel it sore, but it, like, it's gone. And so we pulled over and I looked and I go, yes, it is gone. I could see where the little red part was, like,
wow.
Just that there was something. Yeah. Like there was something
right
there.
Yeah.
But when I looked at it, when she showed it to me, it had like a, you know, like when you have a like a pimple and it's got a white head on it, that was on the roof of her mouth. And when, after we prayed and I looked at it, and she said it was, you know, it just was tender, that's all. And I looked in there and I'm like, it's gone. I could just see like it was red, like a deep dark red around there, but it wasn't like white anymore. That was all gone.
Wow, very
so Jesus,
cool.
Yeah, Jesus touched her. And it's really kind of cool because whenever I'm with my little sister, she's a Catholic, and she lets me pray for her when she's, you know, not feeling good. And it's really, God really amazes me, because I'm going to tell you, 9 times out of 10, when she says she has something wrong with her and we pray, he touches her. And I'm like, you know, I was thinking about that today. I'm like, every time I'm with her, and God touches her, it just beefs up my faith, you know, that God just her, you know.
Wow, that's so cool. That's a great testimony, Anne. Praise God.
Yeah.
So what, now let me ask you this, though. Then when did your symptoms started happening? When did they occur?
On Easter Sunday, I started getting, well, it was the weirdest thing. On Easter Sunday, I went to my other sister, and she doesn't live in my town either.
Were your sister driving? Was that on Saturday or Friday, like before?
No, that
Easter
was today.
Sunday? Oh, today.
Yeah, it was,
okay,
it was today.
I just wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
That was
right.
My little sister. But my other sister, she comes to my town for church, and we had church service, sunrise service, and then we had breakfast. And then I went out to my sister's house, the one, my second sister that goes to church with me. Yeah, I was at her house, and I started getting this humongous welt on the inside of my thigh for no reason. I mean, and I'm like, oh, what is it? Whenever I have not been at her. She's the sister that I stayed at when I had my surgery, and my shoulder surgery. And when I was out there for my shoulder, that happened. I had this humongous thing. It was like a welt. I don't know, maybe a huge. It wasn't like little hives. I get this huge thing, and it's so hot, it's so painful. Surgery, I got it when I was there too, and I'm like, oh, what is this? And I had put some cream on it, I didn't think nothing of it, and it went away eventually, but it took a pretty long time. Well, They went on a missionary trip here like a month ago or so. I was there, that welt on the inside of my thigh came back. I'm like, what is this? You know, and I just thought, well, maybe it's, I washed my clothes there, and I'm thinking, oh, maybe it's just their laundry detergent or something. Well,
yeah.
On Sunday, then I went out to her house, and by the time I left, I was only there like 5 hours. I had this huge, humongous welt on the inside of my thigh, and I didn't wash any clothes or change any clothes or nothing. So that started on Sunday, and then when I woke up on Monday, I was doing some stuff walking around, and I noticed my ankles were really huge. So I got to say, Monday and then today, maybe Sunday, but the thing that would happen on Sunday was, and then on Monday morning when I woke up, I had those size. So I don't know what's going
on. Oh, wow. That's wild. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I just want to see if there's any correlation to you praying for your other sister, like if something came on you, but that was not the case. But, okay, because I had a not felt well Easter Sunday either, and this has happened to me before. Like if I pray and intercede for people to receive Christ, and sometimes I don't know if it's just a kickback or what, but I have had that happen before to me. But this past, let me think, when was it? And I woke up Saturday off. I thought it was something. I mean, I kind of thought it was the pollen and that I didn't sleep well.
Yeah.
And I had a crappy cup of coffee. So then I thought, well, I need more caffeine. Like it kind of started,
yeah.
Kind of started that way, you know. And then I just didn't have any energy, you know, and I just remember thinking, I have a lot of energy for today, you know, and
yeah.
So I was getting stuff ready, yada, yada, yada. I ended up taking a shower like after dinner, you know, and then just watching a little bit of TV. And I remember feeling a little bit cold and I had the blanket on. But anyway, when I ended up going to bed, I didn't realize, but I think I had a fever because down my arms, it was like shivering down my arms, you know?
Yeah.
And, and I could not get warm enough. I remember that. I was like, oh, this is not good. And I remember thinking in the back of my head, like, if this is COVID, COVID's not good. You know, it's just bad, you know?
Yeah.
And so, then my husband came to bed and I said, will you please pray for me? You know? And he laid hands on me. And so anyway, about 2 o'clock, just after 2 a.m., I woke up and the fever broke. But it
uh-huh.
literally did feel like a spiritual attack.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
That's a, you know, I was thinking, like, what is with this? I wake up and I have this thing in my eye and now my ankles. I'm like, I feel fine, except now I have all this edema in my ankles, you know. So I started to think back, like, did I pray for somebody on Sunday or, and you know what, now that I did pray, I completely forgot. I was helping a lady decorate a cake, we had an anniversary for 2 years that we were in that building and she was kind of fussy, but I didn't pray for any health thing. I prayed for her to have peace and she wouldn't be anxious. And that's what I prayed for her for.
Yeah.
So
if you have anointing oil, just keep anointing yourself even before when you go to bed, and then, and just say, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I receive your healing, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you for the promise, you know,
okay.
And just keep, yeah. And just keep receiving.
Okay.
And if you have any unction, you know, to bind or whatever, then just, you know, whisper that unto him and take authority or whatever, if it comes up, you know.
Okay.
I mean, if you feel like, oh, I think I should pray this right now, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so
yeah.
much, Deborah. And God
okay.
bless you. I hope you
thank
have a wonderful week. And thank you.
Thank you. Likewise to you. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. Good night.
You're welcome. Good night. Okay, our next caller, thank you for waiting. is
hi.
Hi, 402214. Yeah, I have a little bit. I think I have a 5-second delay on my computer. This is
Sharon.
Sharon, yes, from New York, correct?
Right, right. Thanks, Deborah.
Yes.
Thanks.
Awesome.
I need
well,
some prayers.
Thank
I was,
you.
I was listening. She, those, all those areas sound like lymph nodes. So, you know,
oh.
But you're right. When, you know, you're very empathic and Satan doesn't like us praying for people. He doesn't like this good stuff. So he does attack. You know, like I
yeah.
heard about your husband prayed over you. So I would imagine,
yeah.
you know, I know it happens. It's been happening to me.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I know that I did pray for my friend. Told me her mom was in the hospital with, so, and they were concerned about her. So I remember I pressed into prayer on that.
Yeah, she probably
but then
felt
I also
better,
did,
too.
I did pray. Yeah, I also did pray. Again, I did pray for salvations and even for people who hadn't gone to church in a while to go
oh,
back
wow.
just because of, you know, last year with COVID and everything was really shut down, you know. So
right.
Just people to have unction. So it might have been that. I know I've gotten.
Yeah, that's really
yeah.
great.
I try to place it a little bit because I usually don't get physically. I usually don't have physical things unless, so I'm
well,
just really trying to place it and understand it.
Well, people that are really empathic, sometimes they do that. They take it, they take on the illness that goes through them and then up to God, you know, goes out.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
You know?
Like you carry it
I would just,
in intercession.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So. Maybe just
yeah,
add
like,
a prayer
like I see,
that
I see
you
what
don't.
You're saying. Yes, I would just say it a different way, like this. Is, but I understand what you're saying. It's like it's a word of knowledge, but you're carrying it in your physical body on behalf of another person physically as well.
Right.
But it, some.
Right.
Right. But some. Right. Right. Because that's
sometimes
your burden to pray.
The person you're praying for, sometimes they don't know what's wrong with them, right? And
uh-huh.
you know, God wants us to be specific. I mean, you know, in our prayers, we don't have to be, but, you know, that's a really good thing to be specific. And so for you to know what that person needs, sometimes God will let you feel it. Maybe not just know it. You know what
right.
I mean? Like your leg will start to hurt or your arm, and you'll know that person needs that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, because that's what I would call it's a word of knowledge, but you're carrying it physically.
Right.
And because
mm-hmm.
once you pray that through, then it leaves. You're just receiving that word of knowledge and
mm-hmm.
what seems like, it seems like, and it's not even always the same, it's not the same ailment, but it could be the, but you're feeling it as if it is.
Right.
But it's not. Because, listen, one time I was in a worship service, and it was there was a guy there who teaches on healing and stuff. It was, like, in the summer, so there's a lot of people there. This was a handful of years ago. And then
yeah.
I remember I was praying or during worship, and all of a sudden I almost felt like I couldn't breathe, like I was having a hard time taking a breath, and, like, my lung hurt. And I was like, oh,
uh-huh.
my gosh, like, that's my lung. Oh, my God, what is that, my lung? And then I was like, oh, man. And then it lifted and it went away. And so then
right.
this guy came out. So this guy came out to worship. You know, they did their pre-teaching. He did his, he was the focus teacher or whatever. And then he said, now, if I asked anyone if they got a word of knowledge for a healing for somebody, what would you say? And I was going to raise my hand and say a lung, but the, because that's the only thing I could think of that happened, you know? And so,
right.
But see, this is God's way. That was God's way of teaching me. That's what it was.
Huh.
And, but then
right.
the people who, the home pastors were like, they didn't want to do that, so they didn't. But then he came out later and said, a lung.
Yeah.
So that's,
yep.
And that's how I even learned, like, oh, the Lord speaks to me in words of knowledge. That's how I would know. I didn't even know what that was. Like, I didn't have the vocabulary
right.
for it. But anyway,
right.
back to you. Yes.
Yeah,
I agree.
And,
we're just saying it. Yeah.
It's another thing that I learned the hard way, I guess. I didn't know. When God heals you, it hurts. Sometimes it hurts, you know. I shouldn't say all the time, but like if it's bones or, you know, muscles or whatever, and I guess that makes, but it will just start hurting really bad, worse than ever. And then in a little while, it's gone, and it's gone forever. It's healed. But that makes sense
yeah.
if God's straightening out people's bones, that it would hurt. So
yeah,
if somebody,
actually,
you know,
now that you say that, I have heard testimonies like that where people were concerned or it looked, and then all of a sudden it was gone. You're right.
Right.
I have heard things like that. Or like it feels
yeah.
like it's on fire or something like that. Like,
right.
yeah, like
uh-huh.
it's burning. And then they, because,
right.
you know, it's interesting, too, that he does that because it has their attention and they're giving it their attention thinking, oh, my gosh, I have concern now. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? It's gone. And
yep.
that's
exactly.
very clever of him. Yeah, very clever. So thank you.
The first
hey,
time it ever happened
the Lord. Yeah, that is so cool. So, Lord, we just thank you for just even the word of testimony, God, and because the word testimony wants to repeat a thing. So we thank you, Lord, that you continue to repeat healings, God. Just repeat them, Lord. May they multiply and increase, God. May you do restorative, God, and redemptive power, God, that you would restore. God, I ask for restored eyes, God, and eyelids, Lord, and Anne, Lord. I pray for Sharon, God, if she has any physical ailment, God, that you would restore that, Lord. I thank you for restoring me, God, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. We just lean on you and you alone. You are the fulfillment of the law. You are the fulfillment of the prophet, God. You are fulfillment of the covenant and the covenant, the blood covenant that you've made with us, God. We thank you for grafting us in and calling us your own, Lord. We thank you for every promise, God, every provision and every preservation that you have on us and our family bloodline, Father, we receive it. We receive your healing and receive your anointing, the anointing of Jesus to heal and to bind up the sick, Lord, and to bind up the brokenhearted, God. We receive it now in Jesus' name. And we thank you that the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. So come, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I definitely need that. I did want to pray. For discernment and wisdom to know what to do with it. God had given me the great gift of discernment many years ago, and I didn't know what it was, and it scared me to death, and I ended up running away from even praying because I didn't want to be attacked, because, you know, things I would pray for myself. You know, like, I mean, I never cussed or anything, right? But let's say I prayed, oh, you know, Lord, don't let me cuss or anything. And I don't even know why I prayed that because I never really did cuss. And that day, literally that day, I would be cussing all over the place. So everything I was praying for, I was getting attacked, you know, really bad. And I ran away from it, and the discernment scared me to death because I had no idea what I was asking for. I thought I was just asking to know God's will for me, you know. Do I turn right or do I turn left? I had no comprehension of how big a gift that is and what it all entailed. And so I was scared. I thought I was going crazy. And but, you know, I got to the right people that explained it to me and told me I wasn't. And, but so this time I'm, you know, I have to say I'm sorry because I ran away. But I do need it because I need to be on guard of who's good and who isn't. I'm going through that and trying to find the truth to things. I think you prayed about that, that God was giving me the truth in spoonfuls.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Right. Oh, I wanted to tell you something. When you remember I said about my my arms, the coat of arms for my name?
Yeah.
My family lineage. I was a little off on what it said. It said, God is my hope.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful, though.
Yeah. But it was a little off, and I didn't know how to get a hold of you to tell you.
I know. That's just fine. That's perfect. Yeah, because we have other listeners listening, too. Yeah, that's great. That's awesome, because I was just listening. One of the pastors was talking on Sunday saying part of his message was even, like, you can live this long without water, this long without food, this long without la, 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 you know, yada, yada, you know, or hours, you know, minutes, seconds, or whatever. But, and then he read something, he said, whether it's true or not, but it illustrates the point that was that, but you can't live without hope for 4 seconds. And then he was saying that even through COVID, like, that's literally how many of us got by, was on hope. And I thought, yeah, you know what? If I come to think of it, you're exactly right. You know, even especially those first few months, you know, and that first cycle when we had no idea. It was so strange. None of us have ever walked through anything like this before, you know, or many of us haven't,
right.
You know. Yeah, and right. It's just so bizarre and mind-blowing and, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so I was like, wow, hope. So hope really is a it is very sustaining. That's great to have that attached. Okay, so back to the, thank you for sharing that too. That was nice. So back to the discernment and the wisdom to know how to, okay, I was listening to a teaching not too long ago. Like, I have like different podcasts and stuff that I listen to. And he was talking about dunamis power, so the resurrection power and the dunamis power that we have through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, and receiving him, right? So we have that same power because we will not be held in death either. We will rise like Christ rose. Okay. And so he was saying within this dunamis power, it can be used. There's a constructive power or a destructive power. So he was just encouraging people to be aware. He said, I've seen this power used, constructively and destructively. So, and I know that you didn't give this, as an example, but I'm saying this, so just as an all around, because I know there's people listening that haven't dialed in as well, to just to give it an, you know, we're all in a different place in our walk and in our faith. So so sometimes within this power, it's as if, like, let's say you grow intercessor and or whatever, you're growing that. But then if you are wounded and you're hurt or angry about something and you actually voice that before the Lord or like in a prayer form or in a you know, like, you become your battle. And again, I stated it, like, I didn't hear you say this when you said this, you know, but then that can be in a destructive way towards the person. So it sounds to me a little bit like in the example that you just gave, is that a little bit like the enemy is trying to intimidate you.
Right.
And, right.
That's exactly
so your prayers,
what is happening.
Yeah, and so it sounds like your prayers are effective, or being effective, you know, enough where the enemy doesn't want you to move forward. You know, he's trying to intimidate you so that you don't, right? So whatever, I would just continue to ask the Lord, and we can ask him here too before you go, is for the Lord, you know, when the Lord told Moses he was going to go with him to deliver the people, that he would be with him and he would put his words in his mouth and he would teach him. He would teach him,
right,
you know, while he was with him. So the Lord can teach you what to say and how to pray it, you know, because his disciples, the disciples asked, teach us to pray, God. So sometimes I'll say to the Lord, teach me to do that, or whatever it is I'm doing, or if he asks me to do it, I'm like, you're going to have to teach me. And in the moment, I'll say, teach me to pray. Or if it's something where I feel stuck, just like that, I'll say, Lord, teach me to pray. I mean, he answered his disciples, you know. And then he also, when the disciples talked to him, you know, Jesus would talk to crowds and he would talk like in parables or whatever.
Right.
And then, you know, but with his disciples, he spoke to them plainly, you know. And so sometimes I will pray, which I think I learned that here. But I will pray and ask the Lord. I'll say, Lord, speak to me plainly. I'm just a simple girl. You know, just speak to me plainly. Yeah. So we can ask the Lord to do that. But I do understand the enemy and his intimidation tactics can feel very real and very threatening, you know. And even so much so, like Elijah ran, you know. Elijah ran when he was threatened, you know. Yeah, so it can be a very real thing.
I didn't realize that discernment included discernment of spirits. Okay, I didn't realize that. So I had no idea what I was going to be seeing. And Randy told me once a long time ago that I was a seer, and that makes sense because I have, but the enemy has definitely been, he tries to mess with me. I just have to keep telling God I'm sorry, you know, for not being courageous enough back in the day, and even now sometimes, you know, because I'm a very literal person, and God knows me. He knows that I am. He would literally speak to me in the Bible. He speaks to me literally. I don't care how weird the passage is. He speaks to me literally because, you know, like you said, you're simple. I would get so upset over these parables because I wouldn't understand them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, what are you talking about? That it's a little better now. But
yeah.
So God speaks to me literally because I am very literal. And, you know, he needs us where we're at. So.
Yeah. Yeah. My husband has discerning of spirits. I mean, that is the gift isn't necessarily discernment. It's discerning of spirits. And so while it's called discernment, and I know people make cut it short kind of like that way or refer to it as that, but it literally is discerning of spirits. And so my husband does have that. I don't know if your other gifts, are you evangelistic, do you think? I'm only saying that because my husband is. So my husband has discernment, hospitality, and evangelism. Those are like his top three.
I don't know. You know,
okay.
I took a class in intercessory and discernment for a few years and learned more about it, but I don't know, you know, the depth of all the gifts of the Spirit. So I really don't know.
My husband used to do like greeting outside, like when people would come in and he would hand them a bulletin or whatever, flyer or whatever.
Right.
And he would say to me, okay, so then they would do like an altar call at the after service. And my husband would turn to me after the altar call and say, I seen that guy when he came in. I knew he wasn't saved. and I prayed for him. So that's how the Lord would use
cool.
his gift. Yeah.
Right.
However,
right.
if someone just looked at that in the natural, and so my husband didn't say anything prior to, but although sometimes he'll say to me, I know that person, he's not saved, or something like that. It might sound like he's judging.
You know what? I understand what he's saying. My mother and my son had the discernment, gift of knowledge. My mother had it all, but didn't know that, was never taught anything, you know, really even. It's very simple. Her faith was very pure, very simple. She was a child at heart. I mean, she actually got to see Jesus, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example of my mother. Jesus appeared in her room. She was in the hospital. And her response to him was, oh, hi, it's you. That's what she said to him. And he kind of, you know, smiled, chuckled a little, you know. But that's how pure and innocent my mother was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was just excited. She didn't think it was odd or weird or, you know, she was just excited.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And very innocent, very innocent.
Yeah.
But my son saw something. He came running home scared to death to me, didn't understand it. I had the same experience once, but I never told him. Is he met this man and immediately saw Satan's face on him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it, of course, scared him to death. He had no idea what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I just explained it to him. But, you know, if you don't know what's going on,
yeah,
it's
a lot to walk through because you are discerning. You have to take it in the natural and then discern it spiritually. And you're taking
right.
it in both worlds, you know, at the same time. So it is. It is a lot.
Right.
It is a lot. But you know what? The Lord is going to equip you. You know, if it's his gift, he's equipped you. And we need to roll it, as I was telling the other, you need to roll it back on him and ask him for the things that you have need of for that gift. Because he will equip you for it. If he's given the gift, which he has, then he's going to equip you with that gift. So, Father, we just pray an agreement right now for Sharon, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, for this gift, Father, we thank you, Lord, and even as she states, Lord, that you know her heart and you know her personality so well, Father God, the Lord, and you don't come to break her or to maneuver around to even show her, God, her own frailty or weakness, God. That's certainly not your efforts, Lord, and that's the schemes of the enemy, God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father God, that we would lift her up to you, God, and we ask, Lord, that you would make, Lord, the provision, God, with the wisdom, Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord to be upon her to know how to navigate through this gift, God, and how to utilize it with a constructive power, Lord, that is yours, Lord, and that she uses that authority, God, and the power that you've given her, Lord, to your great name, to your great glory, and to your great honor in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that the enemy, as your word says, the enemy has already been made a public spectacle in Jesus' name, that he is just a little God. And he really just has little power. He just puffs himself up to make it look like he has more than he does and more intimidating, like a cobra, you know, or whatnot. And while these tactics can work, Lord, I pray that she, Lord, would have a sound mind. She would not have a spirit of fear, but of your love and of your power and of a sound mind, God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you would teach her when she speaks, Lord, how to take authority, Lord. Again, how to use your power constructively for your glory and your honor, for your name's sake, and also to cover herself and to cover her family, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you would even anoint and consecrate her pillow, that you would give her dreams, Lord, and strategies and things that she can pray and do, God, that she's actually not maybe releasing into the atmosphere for the enemy to hear, but she's utilizing, you know, heart to heart, mind to mind, God, with you to pray things through, God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You know, I was just thinking, because sometimes the Lord does reveal to us things in dreams, it's because the enemy can't touch it. And it's in that hidden place. It's a mystery that's hidden that can unfold to you. And I would just be careful not to speak things like to your friends and to other discerners when the Lord is revealing like these truths and these strategies and how to pray. And because he's giving it to you in such a way where you're not putting it into the atmosphere so that that doesn't come back and attack you, but you're actually, the prayers are being effective because he's teaching you a strategy and how to do that. And whether anybody, whether you've heard about it from anybody else or not, you know, but if you can prove it and measurable that it's an effective prayer, then it's an effective prayer. And that's how he wants you to pray. So, you know, there's a thing that the Lord shows me, and I know this might sound weird, but it's in license plates. And there's certain things that I've interceded for, even over our nation. And for many years, I've prayed for our nation. And since starting, like a couple times, I've revealed a few dreams that I've had that have to do with the government or significant leaders or things like that.
Big things.
I ran them past him to see what he thinks, and the, you know, it's interesting. But I haven't shared it vocally here because for a discerning, you know, discerning, not discerning of spirits, but discerning that I shouldn't. And the Lord's also taught me a strategy how to pray over a specific thing for our government. And so when I see it, and it's kind of like a code, but you know, in Habakkuk where it says write on tablets, write the vision down and write it on tablets so those that run with it can see it and keep running, right? So it's kind of like a little sign where you see it, you're on your way, you see it. Oh, I know what that means. And then I might pray it internally, or I might start praying in the spirit, or but I pray through it where I'm talking to the Lord in the Holy Spirit, but I'm not necessarily releasing it from my mouth yet because it's a stealth, it's a very stealth strategy from the Holy Spirit. And then I might see something like come up in the news within 2 weeks from the time that I prayed, an article, yada, 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 but I'm still not speaking specifically. Do you get what I'm saying? So
don't be
surprised. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. I've been worried about that exact thing. In fact, one of the prayers I was going to ask you to pray with me is that God, you know, blind and, you know, hide my thoughts and my prayers and my actions from the enemy.
Yes. He won't give you hidden strategies.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope so. That's exactly what I need. Because God said to me, change the code.
Oh, did he?
He used that word, code. And this is quite a while ago, okay? And I had no idea. And it had, but it, my prayer to him was regarding this kind of thing, you know, the enemy listening to me, you know, hearing what I'm saying or doing. And his response kind of came out of nowhere, changed the code. And I didn't know what he was talking about. But you just talked about it.
Okay, yeah, because code, I just looked up code. Yeah, I just looked up code. You know, it's one of them here says, the third one says, a system of signals or symbols for communication. And that's exactly what I just said. Such as letters or numbers. A system of symbols, such as letters and numbers, used to represent an assigned and often secret meanings. Yeah, so change the code. So then, okay, listen, if this is what he spoke to you, then I would ask him for his code. Lord, I need your code. Then you pursue him, because what we hear him say, we want to do it, but we also want to inquire further of literally the things that he's spoken, because it was his language.
Right.
It was his word. Yeah. Yeah. And I would dive in there. So, Lord, we just come into agreement with that. We come into agreement with that, God, that you would give her those things, Lord, the strategy to be effective, that her prayers would be effective, God, through this discernment of spirits, God, family, through the blood of Jesus, Lord, through the blood of Jesus in every doorway and gateway and entryway, in Jesus' name, that you would cover it with your blood. You'd cover it with your blood, Father, and your spirit in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, and trust you, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you for this. And even think back, if he has given you any dreams that might have something in there. But if not,
yeah,
just, you know, ask him for that hidden. Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. Back when I was praying all the time with just, you know, through my classes and intercession, and I would have these bizarre dreams. I mean, bizarre. And then it would be the next day or the day after when I'd be reading the Bible, and my dream was right there in the Bible. And it was, you know, how the Bible, there's lots of stories about lions and somebody walking
right.
in the room, or, you know, I mean, lots of bizarre
mm-hmm.
things in the Bible. But I didn't know it beforehand, and except I had the dream. So it was like an affirmation to me
right.
that it was God, you know. And, you
yeah.
know, my understanding, when you have really bizarre dreams like that, God's just trying to make you remember, trying to help you remember something or teach you something, you know.
Yeah, if he's
but
telling
that's
you in his word, he's confirming something. And there might be
mm-hmm.
principles to that story or whatever, you know, but yeah. And that's how he's leading you. Because mine used to be, and I do need to move on because I have a few more callers before Randy comes on. But mine used to be, I would have conversations with my roommate. I'd have a conversation with her. I remember talking about angels. And then I went right in my room to open my Bible, and I went right to, do not worship angels. So mine were like conversations. I'd have a conversation with someone. I'd open my Bible. Then it would be right on what we just discussed, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But the Lord's showing you that, because that's how he speaks to you, right? So he's showing me, that's how,
right.
not only do I speak to you that way, but that's how I'm going to use you. So that's why you got to pay attention to it, because, yeah.
And that's why I was prayed for wisdom, so that I could understand, you know?
For
it was,
sure. Yes.
Yeah. And, okay, well, I won't keep you, Deborah. I was wishing there was a way that I could get in touch with you. Hang on to my phone number.
I can't do that. I can't do that. But the only way that you could get a hold of me is that you would text the ministry line and the text number through PGN Ministry, and just say,
right.
"Hey, this is Sharon from New York. I would like this message to go to Deborah," and then they'll pass it on to me. Yeah.
Okay.
But thank
I
you.
Would ask you if you would, since your husband has that gift. Would you ask him to pray for me?
Yes, I will. When I'm done, he's in the other room.
I'm not,
yes.
I don't want to share it, but there's something I've been concerned about that I saw, and I'm not sure if it's one of those tricks or if it's actually going on.
Okay, and I'll have him pray over your gift and for your wisdom. I mean, for God's wisdom to be, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Okay,
honey. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Take care. Bye. Okay. Thank you, callers, for waiting. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to go a little bit quicker now. It's 709-500. Good evening. Am I speaking to you? Where are you calling from?
Dastia from Canada.
Hey, Destra, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Glad that you joined us this evening. Thank you, Lord. Excuse me. Thank you, Lord, for Destra and Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Father, just for blessing him. Lord, we thank you that he can, Lord. And I also see, like, even creative ways that you can do things. And also even, the way that you can do these things is it brings, like, they're little stoked fires for the fire of God to come. So when you ask him and you can do it, and like this might be like a mobilized thing, like, you know, like you're over here with friends or you're visiting this church or in ministry here or on the street, I don't know, but it's like mobilized. It's not all in one place. I kind of see it like mm-hmm. mobilized, but you can do it. And it's like stoking these little fires. You know, and supplying, even just this little fire supplies even for that one person, right, where the Lord says, whatever you do for the least of these, you've done unto me. And so what you can do, do that. You know, I guess I would say that, but I'm seeing a creative solution for your cans that you can supply in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Thank you. Thank you, caller 847239. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Stephanie from Illinois.
Hi, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord, for Stephanie. I'm sorry, my phone, but I put my head down to write your name. And then I picked my head up and the whole thing jumped. That's why I paused. So thank you, Father, for Stephanie, God. We just bless her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay, I do have another caller, and I am going to get to you, 903. I just pray for Illinois to see, Lord, you raise up a standard, God, and pillars, God, and pillars to raise up a standard in Illinois. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for sustaining it. And preserving it and raising up these pillars, God, that cannot be forced, Lord, even by the hand of man, Lord, even by betrayal. Thank you, Lord, that these pillars remain standing and that they are equipped and functioning in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Thank you for Illinois, Father, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we pray for Stephanie, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, Lord, and just bring her to your altar, God, an equestrian. How do you say my words are just something else sometimes. Equestrian, you know, the people who ride horses, but I don't know what equestrian means. I don't know if it's a type of, like, preparation for riding. I don't even know how to spell that. Type of, or if it's like a formal preparation, a formal thing. I wish I knew how to spell it. Equestrian. I don't know what that is. I would look that up. I don't know if it has something to do with like a preparation for how the Lord's using you, or even like the stature in nature and equestrian. You know, is parallel, like a parable, but parallel to how you serve the Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the function and the rule and the authority that it takes, Lord, and even the work, really, even the work that's involved in equestrian, Father, in Jesus' name. Because even when we get to heaven, you know, the word says that we're going to work in heaven, that we are going to have work in heaven. I'm sure it's not going to feel like work, and we're going to totally love it. And but the word does say that there'll be work in heaven. And, you know, one thing my husband does say is, like, he does ask the Lord to, you know, if he's going to come back, we don't know the rapture timing or whatnot, but if he's going to come back for the fight and, you know, he wants to prepare the horses for the battle. That's one thing he's asked the Lord to do in heaven, is to prepare the horses for the battle. So I don't know if there's anything, it just made me think of that for 1 second, so I'm not sure. So Lord, we just thank you for that, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, of just how she's fit. Like she's fit for, I don't know if you're fit for the battle or you're fit for the ride, and that, you know, because on the horse, you're on top of it. So if you're on top of it, you know, like on top of the battle, you're, you know, on top of it. Like if you even drive a car and you have a car that sits higher up in traffic, I mean, you kind of feel like you have a handle on it a little bit with it. You know, that you're able, I'm sorry, I couldn't find what time it was, that you're able to, you know, navigate and negotiate, not negotiate, but navigate through it where you can, you know, scope out the view of it as opposed to being just looking at a bumper. You're a little higher up and you can kind of maneuver in a different way. So when you're in a battle, sitting higher up, you're on top of it and you can maneuver in a different way. I'm going to have to look up a question after you hang up, but I wish that you would too, because I feel like it runs parallel to something that the Lord is having you do in the preparation. Like I see you prepared for it. You're not just getting ready for the equestrian, because I see it like next to the horse, and then you're also dressed and you're fit and you're ready and you're ready and you're ready. Like you've been prepared for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Okay, bless you. Okay, 903-918, good evening. I'm sorry, where are you calling from?
Texas. Michelle from Texas.
I'm sorry, tell me your first name.
Michelle from Texas.
Michelle, okay, I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah.
It cut out for a second at the. Okay, good evening. Thank you for joining us. Father, we just thank you for Michelle, God, from Texas, Lord. And we just bring her to your altar, Lord, and ask, Lord, just for your favor and for your grace, Lord. We ask for rulings. Lord, we ask for rulings from heaven to be in her favor. God, like kingly rulings to be in her favor, God, that you would just release that in Jesus' name, God. We pray that as a decree. We decree that over her, that you would release your kingly advice and your kingly rulings over her life, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you would even just like seal it, gavel in your blood, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you. We thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let me just look up. Let's see if I can look up one thing. So I kind of seen a table, and I'm not the word was saying like table it. And I was looking it up, like that expression, or yeah, the expression or idiom table or table it. And it means English speaking word to table means to begin consideration of a proposal or reconsideration of a proposal. So pending motion. So I don't know, that maybe has something to do with even just the decree of God ruling things, you know, his kingly advice and rulings in your favor. So I don't know if there's something on the table, if that's future, or if there's some type of consideration or discussions happening. But we just decree in Jesus' name the favor of God and the decree of God and his kingly advice and rulings over your life. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Well, bless you. Is there anything I can pray with you for? I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to ask the last caller.
Just my finances.
Okay. Lord, we just pray for Michelle, Father. We just pray that you would open doors. Lord, open double doors, Father, for her to walk through, Lord, for finances, Lord. And we pray that you would just reconcile accounts. Lord, that you would give her favor, that you would give her wisdom, that you would grant her great grace, God, on her finances, Lord. And I thank you, God, that you would even supply solutions, Lord, for every aspect, Lord, of her finances, Lord, things, whether it be debt or whatever column in the finances that it's on, debt or intake, income, God, you know, the outflow and the inflow of her finances, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, we call forth order, God, that you would divinely, Lord, make provision for her, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for your care and that you sustain things, Lord, just like you did for the Israelites, Lord, when they walked in your promises and they walked in your ways, that you sustained things for them, God, that you had a preservation upon them, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, in your word. I know that you have, because we used to facilitate a financial thing, you have over 2,350 verses on giving, God, and I pray, Lord, for your daughter, Lord, would seek you and ask of you, God, and that she would walk in your ways just like the Israelites did, God, that you would, that she would place herself in a place of your preservation, Lord. And I thank you for that, Father, and just for your care and walking with her and teaching her and your wisdom, Lord, but making provision and great grace for her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bless you. Thanks for joining us. Thank you. Okay, everyone. I need to end for tonight. So we'll talk to you next week. Thank you for joining us. A privilege to pray for you and to come together in the household of faith, even though this is, you know, a new kind of household. I still think of it as the household of faith, and in this place of this portal of his presence through the phone line. We just ask for his anointing and the Lord's good pleasure to be upon it. And shalom to your homes until next week. Bless you.